Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the MTS Center ice, where the Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the Florida Panthers by a 3-2 margin in overtime. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the press box by my colleague with Illegal Curve Hockey, Richard Pollock. Richard, it was a game the Jets had to have, and at times it was less than pretty, let's say, to be charitable on the ice, but they did manage to pull out the 3-2 victory over divisional opponent the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, Drew, I mean, this was a game that the Jets kind of had to have, and they ended up getting the victory. Whether or not this was a great effort, I think that's certainly up for debate, but you get two points at home. Well, you give up one to a competitor, you likely believe that you're better than the Florida Panthers and that the 2 points are most important moving forward. So you take the victory and you go on to your next game against the very, I wouldn't say disorganized because Randy Carlyle has put them in order a bit, but just, deficient in talent, Toronto Maple Leafs on Thursday. So you try and gain some momentum and try and move forward.
Exactly right. I think most people would be surprised at the effort to which the Jets came out on the ice. Most people thought after the disastrous road trip, they're back at home, they get a little bit boost in their step. They really didn't, throughout the course of the game. They were flat throughout the course of the game. And, it's hard to say that they're lucky to escape with a 3-2 win, but, they certainly played down to the level of their opponent. Not that they're that much better than Florida, but, I think Coach Claude Noel is happy to get the victory. He's not thrilled at the manner in which it was achieved.
I would agree with that, Drew. And I think one thing you need to take into account is, sort of the Jets play down to their competition. Well, the same can be said for Florida. Mm-hmm. And I think that works both ways. In terms of the victory today, I mean, you don't get that penalty in overtime. You may very well not get the victory. And you go into a shootout and it's anybody's game. I think the Jets have to understand that this game is really not something you want to be. You're going to watch the film. You're going to have an easier feeling about it because you got the 2 points. But you also have to learn from it. And one thing I was concerned about with the Jets was a complete lack of, it seemed like, desperation. It seemed like the team was just kind of, going through the motions, per se. And you can't have that. It's February, but February, forget the fact that there wasn't a first half of the season. You need to be better and more focus. And I thought the Jets lacked in that regard tonight. Luckily, they played a team that doesn't have much talent, that's weaknesses are fairly apparent, and they had a few injuries in the back end as well, not as significant as the Jets, mind you, but there were issues there. And the Jets, I won't say took advantage of it, got lucky to get out with that one extra point.
Florida Panthers opened the scoring at the 18-12 mark of the first period. Jonathan Huberdeau got the goal with assist coming to Drew Shore and the very impressive defenseman Mike Weaver, who I thought played a very solid game for the Florida Panthers. The play pretty much, Shore came right up the middle, split the defense, Toby Enstrom was victimized on the play, took a low hard shot that Andre Pavlik saved. Rebound came out to Huberdeau, who was being defended by Ron Hainsey. Ron Hainsey was not strong enough, did not have the proper position on Huberdeau. Took Huberdeau to the ice, but Huberdeau was still able to put the puck into the yawning cage to make it 1-0 for Florida after the first period.
I believe it was Paul Friesen we heard in the press box who had the tweet that Enstrom's jock was left on the shore. A nice play on words, but it was apt based on that play. Tobias Enstrom has been very, very productive offensively this year, but he has been extremely disappointing defensively. He got, deked around by Drew Shore. It was a great play by Shore, but Enstrom can't really let that happen. The shots on Pavlik, I don't really blame him for the rebound. It was a quick shot and close in the slot, and then Hainsey didn't get his man, Jonathan Huberdeau, who looked pretty good. And, if you want to compare Huberdeau to Scheifele, well, first off, I think people realize Huberdeau is a more talented player, and he looked more, he's acquitted himself far better than has Scheifele. But overall, a nice goal, a combination of skill and speed for the Panthers. And if you're a Florida fan, you're thinking, hey, this is some youth here, this looks good. We might not have won tonight, but there's certainly a good future to look forward to with players like that.
Absolutely. The Jets were able to tie it up at the 2:28 mark of the second period. Blake Wheeler gets the goal, assist to Toby Enstrom. Wheeler coming down the right-hand side on Scott Clemenson, takes a shot sort of just inside the blue line. It's tipped by Ellerby. not even a knuckle puck, really, just a soft goal, a bad goal by Blake Wheeler, bad goal given up by Scott Clemenson. Clemenson did not look solid throughout the course of the game, and this was the start of the weak goals that he gave up.
Yeah, you know, it was tip true, and you get the argument with Don Cherry, don't get your stick in the way, or the coaches block everything that moves, and this was one of those Don Cherry plays where the puck kind of took a nosedive a bit, and should Clemenson have had it anyways? Very, very possibly. He didn't. Wheeler's shot without the tip wasn't going to go in, though, and Wheeler's not really known for that big slapper, so it was, you know, he'll take that and run, and it was a shot from outside the hash marks, not a scoring area, not a scoring chance per se. He'll take it. And it did bring to light one thing. In a game that had, I believe, 37 shots combined through the three periods.
38 shots at the end of the game. Oh, pardon me, through three periods and then the overtime. You're right.
Yes. And the point would be 40 shots at the end of the game. And the point would be this. Put the puck on net. And I think the Jets don't do that enough. Didn't do it enough tonight. I'd like to see some line changes eventually. But I think that was a testament to putting the puck on net and good things happen.
Didn't take long for the Panthers to regain the lead, however. About a minute and 30 seconds later, at the 3:52 mark of the second period, Thomas Fleischmann scores the goal, assists to Brian Campbell and Christopher Stieg. It was just a shot from the right point. Nothing special about it, just sort of a snapshot, and it somehow, you know, fluttered past Andre Pavlik to make it 2-1 for Florida. You know, there was some traffic in front, and he was probably screened a little bit, but probably a shot that Andre Pavlik wants to have back. Really, the shot exposed what many have seen, is that Andre Pavlik's glove hand is the spot to target on him.
It seemed like they were targeting that tonight, and, you know, I thought the Fleischmann versus Stieg Weiss line really had some nice puck possession tonight. That shot overall needs to be saved, though. You're right. Pavlik needs to have that save. The Jets eventually bailed him out, but that can't be one that gets in. Even though there was a screen, it wasn't tipped, it wasn't touched. It's got to have that one, especially right after the goal. And goalies will tell you that momentum swing right there. Mm-hmm. And Florida took it right back, and the crowd was out of it immediately. So that's a play that you know, I think if, and I know Ezzie and Dave were in the dressing room, but you'd probably say, hey, you know, that second one, I got to have.
Jets managed to tie the game up at 2 before the end of the second period at the 12:21 mark. It was Mark Stewart with his first of the year, assist to Zach Redmond and Alexander Burmistrov. An example of what you were talking about, getting pucks on net. He takes the shot up from the left point. A good, low, hard shot. A lot of traffic in front. We both thought it may have been tipped initially, but they haven't changed it, and it sounds like it's Mark Stewart's goal. Beats Scott Clemenson clean with it, and it's 2-2 at the end of 40 minutes between the Jets and the Panthers.
If I recall correctly, Redmond made a nice play in the neutral zone on that to kind of begin that momentum shift, you know, in the neutral zone and get it into the offensive zone. You know, there was some speculation that either Burmistrov or Ladd tipped the puck. In any event, gets the puck on net. Zach Redmond, I think, looked really impressive tonight. You mentioned it a couple times throughout the game. He skates well, moves the puck where it's supposed to be, and, you know, there'll be some growing pains there, no doubt. But a player that, you know, you might, to me, is a player that would be ahead of Grant Clipsom, certainly when Bufflin and or Bogosian returns. And then the question is, you know, is it Redmond or Postma? And, I mean, I have to say, based on what I've seen, that I take Postma and Clits him out, and I keep Redmond in there right now.
I would agree with you there. He's playing well, and he plays more confidently. It seems like he knows where he's going to go with the puck. As soon as it's gone a stick, he's got sort of a confidence and a calmness around him that Grant Clitsam and Paul Postma don't have. They're certainly a little more frantic when it comes to puck possession, especially in their own end.
Well, you know, and he fits well into the plan, if you want to look at it that way. You have Bogosian, Bufflin, when you're healthy, Bogosian, Bufflin, and Redmond on the right side, all right-handed shots, can all move the puck, can all skate as well. Then what you do is on the left side, you put Enstrom, Stewart, and Hainsey. Then you have guys who can, you know, and Hainsey and Enstrom can skate. Stewart's not the best skater, but you can mix it up that way, and you have a pretty nice top six. So, if I'm the Jets, it's a good problem to have, and you want internal competition. I think that's what good teams have. You know, you hear Bill Belichick talk about all the time, the New England Patriots. Internal competition is so important. You need to have backups that can step in as a coach, and you need to have players who can challenge. And I think that's what's happening now. While you have injuries and it's difficult to get points, you have in the future for the future. I think the Jets are having some nice growth areas here on the back end.
Agreed. No scoring in the third period. The game does go into overtime. The Jets had a power play opportunity towards the end of the game in the last 3 minutes, weren't able to capitalize. Their power play was certainly nothing to write home about throughout the course of the game, despite the fact that the game-winning goal, which came at the 4:45 mark of overtime, came on the power play. The Jets had a 4-on-3 situation. Philippe Kuba off in the box for tripping Evander Kane, a call that, you know, from our estimation, could have gone either way. Anyways, Kane draws the penalty, and it's after a haphazard power play for the most part. Brian Little comes in 4-on-3 after a nice pass by Zach Redman and absolutely roofs it top shelf. Great shot. Nothing Clemenson could do about that one. And Brian Little scores the game-winning goal as the Jets defeat the Panthers by a 3-2 margin.
The plan kind of brought to light the issues that the teams have, you know. Redman makes a nice pass there, but what you have with Campbell, Brian Campbell is a defenseman, and Mike Weaver. Weaver, a good defenseman. Campbell, not very good defensively. Campbell takes a wide position on Redmond, comes too close to him instead of backing off on a 4-on-3. Redmond takes advantage of that, threads the needle to Little, and what happens is Weaver's a little bit too far away. So the gap between Campbell and Weaver on a 4-on-3 was too large. Redmond saw that, Little saw that, got into a shooting lane, comes up, and Little has a good shot. And you give him some time, he's got a good shot. Richard especially puts a top corner, and the Jets, I won't say steal a victory. I don't think either team really deserved to win, quote-unquote, but get the 2 points and get out of here and can look forward to a below-average Maple Leafs team, and hopefully they can put a little streak together here, get above 500, because we all know 500 doesn't actually mean 500 anymore.
Oh, exactly right. The Jets are able to defeat the Florida Panthers 3-2, make amends for the loss that occurred in Florida last week. Coming up Thursday night, the Toronto Maple Leafs come to town. Another game where you do have to take advantage against a team you probably think are better than. And maybe this is a sort of a springboard for the Jets. Get them some confidence back in their game. Very important. They were perfect on the penalty kill tonight. Florida only had, I believe, 2 or 3 chances at the most on the penalty kill. The Jets were perfect on it. No penalty kill, no power play goals given up. So you can sort of maybe put that story to bed for at least a little bit of time. But you got to be careful about the Leafs. I mean, you expect Phil Kessel's eventually going to get off the schneid. James Van Riemsdyk got off the schneid for the Leafs earlier today in their game against Washington. So the Leafs come to town Thursday, and the Jets have to be ready for another team that you expect to beat, especially when you play them on home ice.
Randy Carlyle will bet that game, and it'll be his return to Winnipeg, and that'll be a fair amount of media coverage surrounding that. That shouldn't distract the players, but that very well may motivate Toronto and through Carlyle. Wanting to come in here and get the win. Not that he has any ill feelings at all. I mean, they're very close. He's very close friends with Mark Chipman and especially Craig Heisinger. But his team will be up. You know, the players react to the coach. And if he wants to have a big game in his adopted hometown, then, you know, you better bet the team will be ready to go. So the Jets need to match that intensity. Maybe the Leafs bringing a certain amount of intensity will allow the Jets to match that. Because tonight it seemed like Florida didn't bring much, and the Jets matched that.
That's a very good way of putting it, I would say. That's it for the Illegal Curve postgame podcast from up here high above the MTS Center. We remind you that tomorrow, 6 p.m. on TSN 1290, the debut of NHL midweek. Tomorrow's guests are Assistant General Manager of the Chicago Blackhawks, Norm McIver, and from CBC's Hockey Night in Canada, Kelly Rudy is going to join us. Until then, stay tuned for more post-game audio from both the Jets and the Panthers dressing room. For my colleague Richard Pollock, we do encourage you to check us out on Twitter at Illegal Curve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. Until Thursday night, thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.